John chapter 14, from verse 1 to 3. John 14. I'm reading from verse 1 to 3. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And when we add to that, the text that was read for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we read from verse 24, 23 to 26. He says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Whenever we come for Holy Communion service, we must know that we have a friend. His name is Jesus. He loved us passionately. And he loves us even right now. In John chapter 13, verse 1, John 13, verse 1, the Bible says, when the feast of the Passover was near, when Jesus knew that his hour has come, that he would depart out of this world, the Bible said, in loving his own, he loved them to the end. Whenever we come to the Lord's table, we should take note of the fact that there is someone in our midst at the head of the table. We may not see him with our physical eyes, but spiritually, he's present. He has gone to heaven, but he's coming back again. According to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 9 to 11. Acts 1, 9 to 11. As he was talking to his disciples, after his resurrection, suddenly he began to rise until the cloud received him from the eyes of the disciples. And while they were still looking, up to heaven, suddenly they saw two angels standing by them, who said to them, "Hey, why are you looking up? This same Jesus, even as you have seen him going to heaven, he will come back again." The Lord wants us to remember. He said it twice in the text, 1 Corinthians 11. So when you are eating the bread, remember me. When you are drinking the wine, remember me. What is he asking us to remember? Number one, he wants us to remember the stripes that he took for our healing. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. 1 Peter 2, verse 24. But when he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, he settled the issue of our healing so that by his stripes we were healed. And he reminds us of this each time we break the bread, that he said, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you." Remember the body broken for you by stripes, so that for the rest of your life, you can claim your healing and you can even continue to live in good health. He wants us to remember the blood, that each time we drink the wine, we are to remember the blood that he shed for us to save us. Because 1 John chapter 1 verse 7, 1 John 1 7 says, his blood cleanses from all sins, to give us victory over Satan. Because the Bible tells us that they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb. And to make us peculiar people. Because he said, "This is a new covenant now being made between you and God by my blood." And according to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, those of us who qualify to eat the bread and to drink the blood, we become a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. You can take it one by one. A chosen generation. Not everybody can come to the table of the Lord, only those who have been chosen. Nobody can even be saved except the Father draws him. We're a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. By divine appointment, we are priests to the Most High God. A peculiar people. You cannot be a genuine child of God and you will not be peculiar. Even the way you dress will show that you are peculiar. Some years ago, we were attending a world conference of Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship International. I think it was in America, either in America or Brazil, I can't remember. And to get a visa, all you needed was a letter of invitation that you are invited to the world conference. So everybody got to the visa office. I think it was in America. And as soon as you presented that letter, they gave you the visa. And then a lady got there with the same letter of invitation and presented it to the visa officer. The visa officer said, "No, I'm not giving you a visa." He said, "Why? You've given to several others with the same letter." The visa officer said, "You don't look like the rest of them. Even the world expects you as a child of God to be peculiar, to look different from the world. To talk different from the rest of the world. To behave different from the rest of the world. So that at times when you behave contrary to the expectation of the Almighty God, sinners will come to you and say, 'But you say you are a child of God.'" In other words, they say, "Hey, we know ourselves. We know we belong to the devil. But you say you belong to God. Why are you behaving like this? This is not expected of you. As a child of God, you are supposed to be peculiar. A peculiar group of people. A holy nation. You are supposed to be so different that when the people of the world ask you to compromise, you will say, "I can't do it. Why? I'm a Christian." One of my daughters gave a testimony several years ago. She applied for a contract. She got a contract to tar a piece of road. I won't tell you which state. She quoted for the tarring of the road, $3 million. The governor said, "Fine, we'll give you the contract. But go and rewrite your quotation. Let it read $33 million. She said, "How come?" I said, "You tar the road. We pay you your $3 million. The remaining 30 is our own." Ah. My daughter said, I can't do that. The governor said, why not? She said, I'm a child of God. How will I be able to even spend the money? Peculiar people. They looked at her and said, where do you come from? He looked at her as if she's somebody who dropped from the sky. We talk about corruption in the nation. Why do you think corruption has become so deep? It's because we Christians who are supposed to be peculiar, it's not difficult to even know who is who. Another child of mine told another story. Applied for a contract. He gave her a contract to go and tie a road. She got to the road and found that the road was already tied. Came back and said, there must have been a mistake. The road is already tied. They said, so what's your problem? The work is already done. Collect your money and give us our own. Those of you who will come to the table tonight must enter into a covenant with the Most High God that from now on you will not compromise. I thought I would hear amen. You are not too sure, eh? This convention is about heaven. Heaven. That's why we started with the topic as pure as light. Peculiar people. People must be able to see you at a distance and know, this is a candidate for heaven. In your behavior, you must be different. It's not every Deacon Harry who can take the Holy Communion. It's a powerful meal. It's a meal that the one who started it said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when I finish preparing the place, I will come back and take you so that where I am, you will be also. It is those who are on their way to heaven, peculiar people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. These are the people who come to the Holy Communion. You can't even come to the Holy Communion table if you are quarreling with someone. Quarreling with a brother. And you've made up your mind you will never forgive him. You can't. When I was younger, when the Holy Communion night is approaching, a lot of reconciliations take place. Because the Bible says you are not to take this meal unworthily. You must discern the body of Christ. You must make sure there is peace in the body of Christ for you to come and take the Holy Communion. The Holy Communion is not just an ordinary meal. You had the testimony of that, my little girl. Brain already completely in a turmoil. The doctors, they don't even know what's going to happen. Either she will die, or she will become paralyzed, or she won't be able to talk. And the father came, took a bit of the Holy Communion to the child, and the doctors could not explain what happened. There is power mighty in the Holy Communion. There's power mighty even in the anointing service that will follow. My beloved children, I will share a secret with you about what happened last night. You know, I've always told you that holiness means total obedience to God. I have been sober since yesterday. It took the special love God has for me that He didn't knock me on the head last night. He said, "I want to talk." But I wanted to preach a sermon that I'd prepared. And he told me, "You've done far enough. There's a God who made heaven and earth. Heaven is good. He made it His throne. Earth is troublesome. He puts the earth under His feet. And He controls everything by speaking. Thank you," he said, "that's all you are supposed to say. And then move out of the way and let me speak." And as he was talking, I was interrupting. I wanted to preach. Thank God I had enough sense to get out of the way early enough. You are dealing with the one called the Almighty, the Holy One of Israel, the one in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. You must leave this convention. Like I told some of the ministers who came to see me last night, you can't love the church more than the owner of the church. You can't do His work except how He says you should do it. When He says, "This is the way I want to go," and you try to do it your way, then you're on your own. We are coming to the table tonight in total soberness, in total seriousness.
You are coming to the table tonight to make a covenant with God. No more compromise. You are...
Thank you, thank you. I know at least there'll be a few who will say amen.
You are coming to the table tonight with a strong determination. If anybody asks you to compromise for the sake of your job, let him take his job. If anybody will ask you to compromise for the sake of promotion, let him keep his promotion. It's God who promotes. You've had the testimony of my son when we were at, don't let me mention the name of the of which university. The boss says, unless you do what I say, you will not be promoted. Years pass. Finally, that my child reported the case to me. We reported the case to God. And the Almighty God moved. They transferred the boss who said my child would not be promoted, promoted my child to the position that he left behind, and then brought him back. If only you will make up your mind that you will leave this place, leave this convention, with a determination like that of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you are not going to bow. I can assure you, my God will see to it that you will not burn. He said, remember me. Remember that I chose you. You are not the one who chose me. Remember me that I chose you to obey me. He said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You are my friends if you will go and bring forth fruit. I see to it that the fruit will abide. When you eat the bread, remember me. Remember I've paid for your healing. Claim your healing. Remember the blood. That the blood that saves you is also the blood of a covenant that you agree with me that for the rest of my life I will be a peculiar people. And you know what? Because he chose you to be peculiar, he will empower you. He said you will receive power when the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And when you read Acts of the Apostles chapter 2 from verse 1 to 4, Acts 2 from verse 1 to 4, the Bible says when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all. All means the peculiar ones in one accord. in the upper room. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. And the sound is going to come from heaven tonight. Like that of a mighty rushing wind. And all of a sudden, the house where they were seated began to shake. If peculiar people gather together, if peculiar people enter into covenant with a covenant-keeping God, that they will not compromise. You can visit them in such a manner that where they are will shake. And then power came and alerted on each and every one of them. If only we will all be 100% committed to God. When we pray and he decides to answer by fire, the world will know that things have changed. Tonight, we will come to the table. We will dine with the Lord. Then we'll move from there to anointing service and call on the Almighty God to let heaven fall again and let his fire touch each and every one of us. And when we leave from here, on the surface we may look ordinary, but we'll be going with power. So may I call on you, if anybody is here and you yourself know that you have been pretending to be a child of God, you know you are not. Tonight is a very serious night. When you are not ready to enter into a covenant with God of no compromise, no more impurity, no more bending to the rules of the world. Because he says, you are not of the world. I've called you out of the world. He said, the world is going to hate you. They will hate you because your standard is the standard of God. If you know that you have been pretending, but you want to put an end to pretense, you really, really want that kind of salvation that will never again bow to the devil, I will give you a few minutes to come to the altar so we could pray for your salvation. Might be just a few of you, but I want to give you that opportunity so I can pray for your salvation, so that the blood can wash away your sins, so that you can have a brand new beginning. So if you want to come, cry to the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm no longer pretending. Save my soul. Save my soul. Let your blood wash me clean. I want to be a true child of God. Don't want to be a pretender anymore. Lord, save my soul. The rest of us, please stretch our hands towards these people and intercede for them, that the one who saved our souls will save their souls also. Pray for them, brethren. For 2 minutes, call on God for them, that the Almighty God will have mercy on them and wash them clean. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. And so, my Father and my God, once again, I want to say thank you for your word. And thank you for all the people who have come forward to surrender their lives to you. Please receive them in Jesus' name. Have mercy on them. Let your blood wash them clean. Please save their souls. Write their names in the book of life. Let them become true children of the Almighty. And from now on, let them do your will. And anytime they cry unto you, Father, please answer them by fire. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Now, those of you who have come forward, I rejoice with you. And I want to promise you, from now on, by God's grace, I'll be praying for you. So the counselors will attend to you. They will collect your names, your address, your prayer requests. They pass it on to me, and I promise you, I'll be praying for you. God bless you.